Jam! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool. Yeah. Ow. And excuse me, my back just decided that it needed to hurt right as I said that. I am Chewy, and I apparently hurt myself by sitting here.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I will also hurt Chewy while he's sitting there.
Yeah, that's Bill, and way over there is Clues.
Yeah, I'm Clues. If I were there, I would not hurt Chewy. He's been hurt enough.
Oh, that's depressing.
You see how yours was meaner than mine? I threatened him, and you were meaner.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Chewy.
I don't think truth is mean.
I don't know, man.
Have you seen it?
Okay, that's fair. Anyway, so
the truth hurts.
This is Monday Night Magic number 622. Clues?
I was gonna say, you okay? Well, shout out to a part of Puerto Rico. It's a zip code 00622. We're thinking of you.
And Pinball went through 64 bits, but she threw them as 62 and 2. As a reminder to come watch live here on twitch.tv/themanapool, where we live stream Monday Night Magic all the time now.
Like, usually on Mondays, but this is an exception.
We are never stopping all the time.
Yes.
Just turn it on.
It's constant.
It's like preview season.
Oh. So, I guess, let's go ahead and get the tournaments out of the way.
All right.
So, GP Richmond was this weekend.
Excellent.
And there were two GPs Richmond.
There were
Legacy and Standard.
I'm sorry, there was a Legacy tournament, and I missed that last part.
Well, it's because you're here. Every time in recent memory we've had a Legacy GP, it's been when you're not here. It's really weird.
Well, that's true. It's just, I think you must be roboting there. There was a Legacy tournament. I knew that.
Yeah.
But
I know you think you're funny, but I assure you, you're just tired.
Yeah, he does.
Do I, though?
No. So, they did something different with the Legacy, right? Yeah, the Legacy portion of GP Richmond. And that's this. This was GP Reed Duke.
That's weird. I didn't even know he was a place.
He is a house in the Magic community.
Oh, I get it. So it's like that GP Chewy's house that didn't fire. Gotcha.
Correct, yeah. But yeah, this is something new that they did, where they just followed him every round. And there was a microphone on the table, and you could hear him speak.
No pressure.
And I mean, it's Reed Duke. He doesn't feel pressure.
No, that's true.
And it was neat.
Kind of day in the lifey.
Yeah, he talked about sideboarding. When his match was done, he joined Marshall in the booth. It was neat. And apparently, he lasted through the entire tournament. He just missed the cut to top 8, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. But yeah, according to this article on Kotaku, it was great. If you would like to read this, the link is in the show notes. But
yeah.
There's also this clip here of Reed avoiding a game rule violation for thinking he made a mistake, getting a GRV for it, and then realizing he didn't make a mistake and proving it. So that's pretty neat. And you get to hear all that live because they mic'd the table, you know.
So is this a kind of thing that you guys would like to see more of? Is this an experiment or a trend, I guess is what I'm asking.
This was an experiment, but I have seen nothing but positive response to it, amazingly, in the Magic community.
And so would it have been as positive if it weren't Reed Duke, is the question I will ask.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, as far as who they could pick to do such a thing with, that's a pretty good choice right there.
Oh, which is probably why they did it first, because he's Reed freaking Duke. Like,
it's a good sample size when it's someone that's a known quantity.
And
they're not like picking a random person to follow.
Yeah, I don't think we can follow Reed Duke at every GP.
Yeah, that would probably not work so well, but
I'd get probably pretty creepy too. Some Truman Show up in here.
Yeah,
we'll just follow him and not tell him.
It reminds me of a way, 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 way back. Ridge Hagen used to do the audio coverage of GPs.
Which I loved, by the way, and I miss terribly.
You wouldn't listen to them nowadays, so you don't really miss them.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, man, like a ton of them.
Oh, okay.
I would totally make time to listen to those. I just don't have time for video coverage.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm always busy doing something, but I can have headphones in.
Yeah, okay, no one cares, Clue. So, a thing that Ridge Hagen used to do is...
just go over here and be sad.
He would pick one person in the tournament and follow them until they lost. And when they lost, he would switch over to who beat them. And just keep going, and in theory, except up until the very end, you will make your way to someone who'll be in the top eight, except for tiebreakers and draws and stuff like that. And it was always really neat. And that could be another thing that they'd try.
I like him being a body jumper.
That's not creepy at all.
Ridge Hagen?
Well, the idea that Ridge Hagen is like, you are the strongest. Oh, now you are a superior host, and he jumps over. Determined entirely by who was fortunate during that round of Magic. That's pretty funny.
He's like an Abathur hat, just jumping on whoever needs him the most. Except it's not who needs him the most, it's who is the best.
Whoever he jumps to will then have everything they do narrated by Ridge Hagen. It's disturbing when it happens between tournaments. I think my idea today is that coverage just stalks people at all times. I should get past that.
You probably should, yeah. But anyway, there are a lot of things they could do with this. There are other pros that they could follow along that would probably be worth it. And but yep. I think Reed Duke is the obvious best first choice.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah. So that's that.
Yeah.
I said he lasted all the way to the top eight, so cool.
Neat.
So let's go to the actual GP. Is this Legacy? This is, yeah, where Andrew Cuneo won the whole thing, playing Miracles.
Yeah, I thought we stopped that top, but here we are.
Turns out it doesn't need it.
Well, he's running back to basics. So, you know, that's pretty brutal.
That is pretty different.
Yes.
Look at that art. Weird.
So let's see here. And are these in order? They are. In second place... Lucien Longlace, let's say, is running lands because Legacy. How many people were in this event, by the way?
This event had 843.
Cool.
Playing the king of all formats, I might add.
All right, this is Legacy. Why am I talking?
That's right. Hey, man, it's fine. Roll with it.
Oh, yeah, because you're about to pass out. That's why. Yeah.
Embrace the Legacy.
So, yeah. Lucien is running lands because you don't run 36 lands accidentally.
Not typically, no.
Unless you're a commander player? I can't remember how many... it's been so long since I built a commander deck.
That's a reasonable
deck,
amount.
Yeah, that I can't remember how many lands that I would start with as a baseline. I'm
sure
probably
go with more than that, but you could do it.
Oh, well. So, in third place... These are in order. Brad Bonin? Bonin?
Brad.
Brad B is running Miracles also, because apparently we just have terrible people placing well at these events. In fourth place, Noah Walker is running Death's Shadow. Wait, this is Legacy.
Yeah.
Isn't Death's Shadow a modern deck?
Well, it's also a modern deck.
Huh. Oh god, this runs Reanimate.
It's a 1-mana 13-13. How could it not be?
Yeah, that's a good point. Plus I'm seeing things like Brainstorm and Daze and Force of Will and... You know, Ponder and Preordain. So, yeah, okay. I guess that would make that deck work a little better. In fifth place, Alexander Chen is running a Teemer Delver deck. Looks about like you'd expect.
I don't know, man. That True Name Nemesis still needs to go.
Somehow I knew he was about to say that. That's why
it just doesn't belong in two-player Magic. That's all I'm saying. It's not where it belongs.
In sixth place, Joe Lissette is running Stoneblade.
Reformed Miracles player, Joe Lissette.
That is true, yeah.
Did you lure him away with the GTA? Because you're still terrible.
Hey, man, I didn't do it. All I know is that he used to be...
Like, he was a hardcore Miracles player.
Yeah. Hmm.
Believe it or not, when the top was banned, I actually thought of Joe Lissette.
I seem to remember you saying that. I don't remember if it was on the show or in an Odds and Ends, but you were like, poor Joe Lissette. And then something along the lines of, that's what he gets, or something.
Hey, no, no, of course not. I would never, never say that out loud.
In seventh place, Ethan Weber is running Eldrazi Stompy. What makes it Stompy?
Well, they're Eldrazi. Of course they're Stompy.
Most of them don't have feet. This is the one that gets you. Never mind the fact that that's a lie and most of them do have feet. It's still...
Okay. All right. Fair.
Oh, my God. Could someone add that to the list of possible show titles? Most of them don't have feet. Okay. And then in rounding out the top eight, Kyle Miller, an old buddy of Clues's, apparently, is running Grixis Control.
That's right. One of my locals from back in my days at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out. So congrats, Kyle.
That breathing? That's a lot of practice.
Kyle, the guy who I think in all the years that I played Sunday Legacy at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina, it's a great shop. You should check it out. In all the years, I think I beat Kyle twice.
Did he throw those just to give you, just because?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. It's just, you know, every now and then people do draw poorly and
allow you to destroy them with goblins.
Sometimes your goblins just get there really fast and there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, that's wonderful.
So
also a minute ago, Pinball Witch threw 10 bits and said for the get those Eldrazi some feet fund.
Oh no, I'm not giving them more pieces.
Right?
They got my eye once. Mm-mm.
Buh.
Yeah.
So, if we go back to check out the top 16, what do we see? Grixis Control, Stoneblade, Grixis Delver, more Eldrazi Stompy, Grixis Control, Teamer Delver, Death Shadow, Grixis Delver. There's no Reed Duke here.
I guess dun.
He missed the top 16, too.
Unfortunate.
All right, then. Is there a, what's it called?
A breakdown?
Yeah, a breakdown.
There's a highlights from day two.
There is not a metagame breakdown. Okay,
close
well.
Close, I can see.
Guess I didn't care anyway.
All right, well, I'll give you a quick rundown of the metagame breakdown. Not enough burn, not enough goblins. There you go.
All right, then.
Solid investigative reporting there, Clues.
Yep, thank you.
Straight up.
Thank you. It took a minute for me to look into that.
Way to round up, buddy.
Okay, so that was the Legacy GP Richmond. Let us move on to the Standard GP Richmond. How many people were there?
786.
That's less.
That is less than Legacy. Take that, Standard.
Ha!
It's just going to have to think about what it's done and in like 3 weeks decide to just cut half of itself off. Yeah, rotation's morbid when you think about it like that.
Ugh.
Is it?
All right, then. So, in Standard, Alexander Han won playing Black-Red Aggro. Like you do. Yep. In second place, Mike Sigrist. What is Siggy playing? Blue-Black Midrange. Yep. We've seen these decks many, many times. Oh, God.
Yep.
Jose Alvarez is running Black-Red Aggro. Seth Manfield is running Black-Red Midrange. Oh, wow, it's actually running Planeswalkers. Wait, those don't say Legendary Planeswalkers. Oh, my God, they fixed it, I think.
Yes, because Chandra doesn't have Legendary and Karn does.
And Karn does. Yay!
Well, they fixed that right before it stopped mattering.
Right? Hey, at least they fixed it. That's the important
thing. They fixed
it.
That's important. That'll matter for, like, the non-rotating formats.
Exactly. So, listeners, in case you weren't aware, we complain about this a lot, but ever since Dominaria came out, the Legendary Planeswalker type line on these had its own category on deck lists. So it was Planeswalker, and then over here, there was Legendary Planeswalker. And it used to drive me up the damn wall. But look, they fixed it!
Hooray!
Good job.
Good job.
So what was that? That was fourth place.
Yes.
Did I... Yeah, that was Seth Manfield. Okay, and... Wow, Seth Manfield again? Is he Player of the Year yet? Alfredo Torres in fifth place running Black-Red Aggro. Oliver 2 is in sixth with a White-Blue Control. And seventh, Joel Sadowski is running Esper Control. Wait, what? Why blue control? Esper Control. So, okay, it's that deck, but with removal. Got it.
Yeah. Roscoe Contempt.
And then rounding out the top eight, Joe Stempo is running the blue-black mid-range deck. So what do we have here?
Take that, green.
Technically, yeah, there's no Stumpy in the top eight at all. So let's see. Technically, there's 1, 2, 3 aggro decks. And then the one mid-range, which I guess that's different enough. Two of the blue-black mid-range decks. Two control decks. Okay, that's better than I expected.
Yeah.
For diversity of the format.
Couldn't diverse right before rotation.
Right? Ah, here we go. Top 16. Is this going to be all 16? Nope, this is 9th through 16th. More black-red. There's a Stompy in 10th. Blue-black, black-red aggro, black-red aggro. Flame of Keld Red, also known as the Wizard. Is Wizard aggro, Wizard Red? I forget what they call it, but the Wizard deck, though. I think that's what Star City names it.
Yeah.
Black-red aggro, black-red aggro. Man, is it rotation time yet? Because damn.
Almost.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, is there anything? Nope, this is the same highlights. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, so Seth Manfield is still in the lead for Player of the Year race?
Yeah.
Do-do-do, improve, replacing a 3-point finish with a 5-point finish, giving him a net 2 points on the weekend to leave him at 81. He's 3 points ahead of Reed Duke and Louis Salvato with only 2 GPs left to play this season.
They're going to make it go to the end.
I mean, that's cool. I really enjoy it when... Yeah, when the Player of the Year race actually...
Is a race?
Yeah, it's not just, welp, he clinched it with multiple GPs to go. Good job, huh?
Yeah, that's less exciting.
So that's pretty cool. All right, then. Yeah. So that was GP Richmond.
Hooray.
Hooray.
GP's over.
All right, what's going on over here? Nothing. Chat is just being nonsense. Okay, good. That means
cool.
I don't have to pay attention. So what's next? I guess now we jump into all of the guild stuff, right? Oh wait, actually no. The biggest news of the last week or so, Robo Rosewater on Twitter has started posting cards again.
Beep boop.
Nice.
I know this
I appreciate that.
Yeah, this is a thing that Bill has been sad about for a couple months now.
I even commented on it the other day. I'm like, where'd my robot go?
Yeah, if you listen to the Odds and Ends, you've probably heard him going, about it for a couple times.
Yeah. If you're not familiar, Robo Rosewater is essentially a... What would the best description for it be at this point?
It's a series of neural networks that are creating magic cards based on different amounts of learning. About magic.
So essentially there's a few different bots that have different levels of complexity and information to work with. And they're used to just generate magic cards. The dumber ones have the much older looking machines in their art when they get posted to Twitter. And those have very little information to work with. And they usually just create like word soup, things that don't even conjugate properly and random combinations of things that may or may not have once been rule words. The more advanced ones actually produce sometimes fully functioning cards or very close to fully functioning cards. And every once in a while, they throw together something that has a very interesting use of the mechanics that I would have never thought of because I'm not a robot throwing things together and seeing what sticks. And
you're not?
So these, no.
Oh, huh.
I try not to anyway. But typically Robo Rosewater would tweet a new card every day, usually in the early afternoon on the East Coast of the U.S. And they're really entertaining to see because sometimes they're great and sometimes they're dumb. But a lot of the time they're just funny. And I would like to, whenever I see them, if I can, I like to write flavor text, whatever nonsense it is, and just reply to that. And I realized I haven't done that in like 6 months. So I'm glad Robo Rosewater is back because yeah. I think the last time we saw it was when the Unset came out and Robo Rosewater got to do the actual official preview of the big dumb neural network thing, which was fun. So
yeah,
I'm glad Robo Rosewater is tweeting.
Yeah, you can see here the last tweet was March 10th. And then August 29th, boom, here we go, Flares of the Returned. And then August 30th, September, or August 31st, September 1st. Oh, that was the last one. Oh, hopefully they're not done again.
That would be sad.
Come back for four more.
Yeah. Robo Rosewater also tends to have a bunch of Halloween-themed things when we get to October, so hopefully we'll stick out at least that long.
Like this one, Goblin Gold Grow. For three, a black, a green, and a white. A 4/5 spirit with four, a red, and tap. Gain an exile counter from an opponent's graveyard to your hand.
Obviously.
Clearly. I would
play that. Heavily unexplored design space.
And you can tell this is one that hasn't learned much. The different pictures represent different complexities. Like, this is the most complex one. And it's an enchantment that costs four, a black, and a red. Scroll of the Nature. It says creatures with flying has base power and toughness 0/1.
That's weird.
A bit.
The Nature.
So, let's see here. By the way, Pinball Witch just subscribed for 13 months in a row. Nice. And Applecork just gifted a sub to 10th Tech Priest. Hey! Thanks a lot. Happy September. Oh yeah, it is September! I don't remember what that means.
I was going to say, what does that mean?
I don't remember.
When you're under a tree that's falling?
There's some kind of special going on with subscriptions or gifting subscriptions or something.
Hmm.
They didn't actually send me an email about this one, so I don't know.
Gifting a sub is apparently cheaper during September.
Ah,
but the streamer gets the full amount.
So yeah, that's what it is. Thank you,
it's
Clues.
It's subsidized sub month if you gift it. Great.
Nice.
Neat.
Yeah, the fact that the streamer gets the full amount is kind of sick.
Yeah.
Which is only like half or something, but whatever. So there you go. Feel free to go out and give some subscriptions to your favorite streamers, or me. Okay, so now we should do the Guilds of Ravnica stuff, right?
Probably.
Right. Okay, so let's start with the mechanics, because that's the part that people want to see.
Yes.
That's the part
so
that
the
I want to see.
Was all announced at PAX, right?
Actually, the mechanics were announced before that, on the weekly stream thing that they do.
Gotcha. I was at Dragon Con. I missed all this, so
yeah.
I'll let you guys talk.
So, the Dimir Guild has Surveil.
Who?
Yes, very funny. Has Surveil. Surveil is sort of like Scry. It's Surveil and a number, and you look at the top, however many cards of your library, then put any number of them in the graveyard and the rest on top. So it's Graveyard Scry.
Neat.
Yeah.
I think that's a solid mechanic for a deck that cares about its graveyard.
Okay, sorry, there was a noise from right, well, you can't see where I'm pointing, from right there, I think.
Oh, not there.
Yeah, I think my air handler is trying to break.
Yaha, welcome to the heat, pal.
Weird. Anyway, sorry, that was so loud that I heard it over the headset. So yeah, that's Surveil. You know who handles my air. The air handler, duh. What do you think I pay him for?
A number.
The Izzet gets Jumpstart. Like that, yeah. Jumpstart is sort of Flashback. Sort of. You may cast this card from your graveyard by discarding a card in addition to paying its other costs. And then you exile it. So yeah,
it's like a one-off retrace?
No, it's retrace and Flashback put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're...
That's weird.
You're flashing it back with its mana cost and by discarding a card.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And people have been complaining about the name. I think Jumpstart is really cool, because, say it out loud, I'm going to jumpstart Sonic Assault.
This sounds like an Izzet thing.
Yeah, it totally does.
Keep in mind all the flavor we saw out of Izzet the last time we were there. This fits.
Yeah.
It might not fit in other planes, but it makes sense for Izzet.
Hmm. And these cards...
I would have also accepted Jury Rig, but that's already a thing.
Not in Magic, it's not.
Hmm. For some reason, I thought that was an existing card. Okay. There's a lot of cards. Moving on.
Anyway. Yeah, these cards are kind of boring, so that's why we're not bothering to read them. Whatever. The Golgari Swarm gets Undergrowth. Undergrowth.
Undergrowth.
is an ability word, so it cares about all undergrowth cards care about the number of creatures in your graveyard, and that's the only thing they have in common. They all do different things. This one, the Moodmark Painter, gives a creature plus X plus O, where X is the number of creatures in your graveyard. So, yeah.
They also get Menace, but yeah.
Sure, but that
I'm just saying, if we're talking about this card, we did name the card, we may as well. Oh my god,
it's also a 2/3 human shaman for 2 black. There.
There we go, thank you. And it's common.
So yeah. Then we go to Boros, where we get Mentor. And Mentor is on creatures. It says, whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like the flavor. Like, the name really works with... Like, of course, it's a good Boros ability.
Yeah.
Of course.
It plays well with the old Boros abilities, so I like it.
Yeah, but the fact that the bigger attacker hands off a counter to a smaller attacker mentors them. And you even say it that way, and my hammer dropper mentors your... or my whatever thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You there, come with me. We're gonna go attack.
I guess make sure you stack your triggers correctly if you're attacking with a bunch of similarly powered guys.
Yes.
Damn it, Stark. The artist was Scott Murphy on Moodmark Painter. And it's an enters the battlefield ability.
Collector number is 078, I think.
The elf who is receiving the Moodmark paint is clearly reconsidering their life choices, but you know what? It's a bachelor party, and this is going to be hilarious at the wedding.
Yeah, it's just too late now.
But yeah, go get them, Boros, and your awesome mentoring.
Trademark and copyright, 2018 Wizards of the Coast.
Magic the Gathering.
And then Selesnya gets Convoke again.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, so at the panel, they talked about this, because I was at the Magic panel at PAX. And for Selesnya, they kept throwing around a bunch of ideas for what to do for their mechanic. And every time they did, they're like, man, that's almost as good as Convoke. And then they decided, why don't we just do Convoke?
Yeah.
I mean, Convoke is a very solid mechanic.
Yeah,
and it
really
does white-blue perfectly, so I don't blame them.
It does what?
White-green.
There you go.
I'm waking
there
up.
There you go. That's...
I realized it after I said it. I blame clues. Let's move
There's
on.
A law against that, according to the Azorius.
So for those of you that weren't around for Convoke before, Convoke's been around twice, right?
Yeah.
I think this will be the third.
They put it in one of the core sets.
Yeah, it was a core set. Okay. So Convoke says, well, I love that this reminder text says, your creatures can help cast the spell. That's very cute. Each creature you tap while casting the spell pays for one colorless, or one generic, rather, mana of that creature's color. Oh, one generic or one mana of that creature's color. Right, I forgot.
Yeah.
And the creatures can be tapped for Convoking when summoned sick. That is the thing that is most likely going to confuse someone at your pre-release.
Yeah, because it's not a tap ability that Summoning Sickness cares about.
Right. The creature's not tapping itself. Convoke is tapping it, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a pickup line you don't ever want to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway. No. Also, they showed us split cards.
Look
why,
at that.
Why is this like
hey,
this?
We've never seen those before.
Damn it. There's no way to turn that either on screen without shenanigans. Oh well. So yeah, this is the only one that I there's no obvious linking word. Status to statue, status for statue, status of statue. There's
yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, they have not told us yet if there's a connecting word, but I don't know that there is.
I'm hoping that they're all named in such a way like this. So it's
status, statue, statures. Yeah, like they just have similar words.
Well, I mean, obviously not any more that are similar to statue, but yeah.
Yes, I mean, like two similar words, and you're like, eh, or eh, but.
Yeah, like tomato, potato, or tomato, potato, whatever.
No one's ever said potato.
But anyway, so status, hang on, let's all assume the position.
Rotate your head.
Which Bill and I are already in. Status, For a black-green hybrid, it is an uncommon instant that says target creature gets +1/+1 and gains death touch until end of turn. And
That's messed up.
A little bit. And then statue.
Combat's gonna suck.
Statue costs 2 a black and a green and says destroy target artifact, creature, or enchantment. So yeah, this is...
There was a comma in there. It's artifact, comma, creature, comma, or enchantment. Not. It sounded like you said destroy target artifact, creature, or enchantment.
Yes, thank you, Clues. We're very sure they would print something narrow.
There's this Oxford comma in here that I'm just loving.
Would someone please smack
that? Doesn't even change the meaning, Clues.
No, but I do love the Oxford comma. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, see, I can see you now, and that makes me hate you more.
Hey, guys, vamp for a minute. I have to go kill a giant alien bug thing.
I don't know how to vamp.
Yeah, so for the fun of split cards, I think this is the first time we've seen split cards since they changed the border, isn't it?
Nah, it's running! No!
Yes, I think it is.
I appreciate the background noises now, too.
And these are proper split cards, not fuse cards?
Yeah, that's sort of what I mean. They've had variations of these mechanics a few times, but
I am victorious.
These are actual split cards. You'll do one side or you'll do the other one.
Yeah, but you're not doing both.
No weird gimmicks.
One or the other. Although, when it's not on the stack, when you're not casting it, it has the characteristics of both halves.
Which is weird and funny.
It is. It leads to some strange things.
And now that Chewie's back, he can also talk about what's going on with the mana symbol in the left one.
Status?
While he drinks something.
What, hybrid?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the return of hybrid mana, much to nobody's surprise.
It's hybrid mana on one side and not hybrid mana on the other. Thankfully, they're the same colors.
So how does hybrid mana work if there's anybody with us who never played with hybrid mana?
So hybrid mana can be cast with either of the two flavors of mana. So you can tap a swamp and play status, or you can tap a forest and play status. Nice and simple.
And I think this will help out a lot in limited because it means that odds are you'll be able to play this card. Like this example here for status, if you're running either of those colors, it's a viable effect to put in your deck. If you're running both of them, then you have the option of using both sides, and that's nice. It's also helpful if you end up running three colors or so and you need to split your things out a little bit, because you'll likely have at least one option, even if your mana gets a little tight.
Yeah, hybrid mana is one of those brilliant things they came up with to make a card, or to make a set that's multicolored, be more playable and less restrictive. Because status, if status was a card by itself, it would still be black and green, but you could easily play it in a red-black deck with, Chain Whirler.
This also lets you make it cost one, which would be problematic if you made it black-green without hybrid mana. So it lets you do some of those nice overlap effects.
Yeah.
So cool.
10th Tech Priest in chat asks, but will the hybrid half and the multicolor half always be the same guild? We don't know yet. I would guess so for these two sets, and if they're going to do something silly, it will be in the third Ravnica set.
They do usually wait.
But I don't know.
Usually it's been a set to train you, and then later you mess with it. But we'll see.
Yeah, I believe that there are both kinds of cards in this set. There's Boros cards, and there's Boros cards.
Does Clues think he's funny again? Okay.
Just saying, I really like Boros.
Yeah, you do.
Very happy about this set. Next one's dead to me.
But the next one has Rakdos.
Yeah, but that's not
Boros. I wonder if they can block this time.
I see.
Maybe. So
we'll
there you go.
We'll find out later.
That's the mechanics of the five guilds in Guilds of Ravnica.
Yes, sir.
We'll get the next five guilds when the next set comes out and then their mechanics. Yay. Boom. So now we have all of this promo nonsense. And all of that. So,
yeah.
The BioBox promo was accidentally revealed already. And it's the Impervious Great Worm.
That's a big Great Worm.
It is. For 7/3 green, it's a 16/16 indestructible with Convoke.
Is this our first 16/16?
I believe so.
Isn't Emrakul the biggest thing?
Emrakul is the 15/15.
Right,
before you can start going into tokens and crap, then yeah, this is probably the biggest.
Pinball White said, this is the biggest black border creature. And then Stark said, this is the biggest creature in black bordered magic. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because Yeah, as noted, Emrakul and Worldspun were both 15-15s, and like when you start going to tokens, you get like Merit Lage at 20-20, but that's not a creature card.
Yeah. So. Sick.
But 10 mana, Chewy.
Yeah. With Convoke.
But 2 mana, Chewy.
Did you tap 8 creatures?
Probably.
Okay. I was like, that's a big
deal. Dude, I've been to Ravnica a few times now. I know how tokens happen. Wait till Selesnya shows up and ruins everything.
That is what they do, yeah.
All we gotta do is make a bunch of elves, and it's free.
I mean, that is also a historical precedent. We'll see what the set has. But anyway, that's your buy box promo. If you want it, I guess you better buy some boxes or wait for it to hit the secondary market.
Now, to be clear, is this one of... No, this can't be, is it?
What?
273 of 259. It really is. This is... the only way to get this card is the buy a box?
Per the last two, yeah.
Yeah, the same as the last
two. Wow. Okay. All right. All right. I hadn't seen this card until just now, so oh. I am...
I think it's probably a step back in power level.
I don't know, man. 16-16 for free?
It's not free.
I mean, you say for free. For you could have been attacking with a bunch of creatures.
Yeah.
Just going to make all these tokens.
Plus, yeah, which you could have attacked with.
Look at his big old face. Oh.
Alternatively, it gets blocked. Doesn't trample. Like all good, big, dumb green creatures.
He's not wrong.
Man, I kind of want one of these.
It's got good flavor tax.
You should probably buy a box.
Yeah.
It's an answer to intrigue and subtlety. Is an impervious great worm, 16-16, indestructible, no trample.
Yeah, yeah, that intrigue and subtlety bounce right off of it.
September 29th.
It's as subtle as a freight train that doesn't trample.
On September 29th. Okay, all right.
Pre-release?
Yeah, earlier today, I was like, I know there's something going on September 29th. What is it? And I couldn't figure out what it was. And the answer is pre-release.
Now you know.
All right. Excellent.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Applecork pointed out, I think in the Discord server, that there is a card that will be in standard with the Impervious Great Worm that makes it hit face. It's called FUD.
That's funny.
Which is a fling variant.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate that. So moving on, the event promos. We've got the open house promo is the Boros Challenger. He has mentor and he can pump himself so he can mentor slightly bigger things because he's only a 2/3, but he's a 2/3 for two with mentor. That can pump
himself. Yeah, I was going to say, just being a 2/3 for 2 with Mentor is good enough.
2-drop in Boros, that'll be amazing. That's how they work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then for 2 a red and a white, he gets +1/+1 until end of turn, which is pricey, but it kind of needs to be.
I mean, its base is a 2/3.
Yeah, I mean, it's a...
Boros.
What was the elf that was a 2/3 for 2?
And what?
For green.
Oh, I don't remember.
Chat, help a brother out here.
I mean, I feel like that's happened more than once.
Well, there was one very specific. Elvish Warrior, thank you. That's the one.
That's probably why I couldn't remember it, because it is the most bland name they could come up with.
Yeah, it's a brilliantly generic name.
What's his name? His name is Attacker Blocker.
They can print it in any set they wanted. Shut up. and then the draft weekend card is Fire Mines Research. An enchantment for a blue and a red. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets a charge counter. Okay. For 1 a blue and remove 2 charge counters, you draw a card. For 1 and a red and remove 5 charge counters, you deal 5 damage to a target.
I like that going through Niv-Mizzet's notes is going to light someone on fire or give you a card that you will use to light someone on fire.
Yeah. It could also... find you cards that you then use to light someone on fire.
Yes.
Or find you cards that you then use to find more cards to light someone on fire. Anyway.
All of these things are going to light someone on fire. And that's why we research.
Yeah.
Stay in school, kids.
So let's see here. Magic League has Necrotic Wound, which is a single black instant spell. Target creature gets -X/-X. Where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. Yes, it is Undergrowth.
Keep an eye on this card.
If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead. That might matter in other formats.
Didn't even see that part.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this card's the real deal, and this is going to see play in tons of formats.
Seems pretty dredgy, but seems, also fun.
Seems pretty good, yeah. All right. And then the store championship participation card is Emara, Soul of the Accord.
I love how the art on this makes it hard to tell if she's still massive or not.
She's a 2/2.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's really funny how the last time she appeared, she had ridiculous stats. So this is great.
Yeah, that was due to that famous rarity swap where they had to swap two cards around. It was Emara, Tandris, and
Voice of Resurgence.
Yeah, that one that everyone played. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it was really funny because it made her like a 7/7 elf or some ridiculously large thing. So she's back to normal size now. But the art at this angle makes her still look giant. Wonderful. But anyway, she does stuff. Carry on.
Okay, read what she does.
Good stuff.
I'm gonna go look her up real quick.
Okay, yeah. Read this card, Blues.
Okay, so Emara, Soul of the Accord, for a green and a white. You get a 2/2 legendary elf cleric. It's a rare. Whenever Emara, Soul of the Accord, becomes tapped, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token with lifelink. And if you think that's how you spell convoke, you're right.
Convoke's pretty good for that. There's a lot of other mechanics throughout Magic that are going to be pretty good with that too. I appreciate it. I also suspect this is going to be used in combos.
By the way, original Emara Tandris was a 5/7.
There you go. I knew it was 5/7, big.
Yeah.
But yeah, anytime you have a triggered ability that creates a creature, you run the risk of putting an effect on it that untaps when a creature comes in and comboing out like crazy. There's enough of those that I'm not going to go down a list here, but expect this to do something funny at your casual table eventually.
Hey, Chloe, there's a rules question in the chat for you.
Uh-oh, hold on. Heading over there now. I believe the answer is no, Stark. I don't think that works.
Clues, you can't.
Do you want to? We're podcasting.
So the question for the people who can't see the chat is, if I'm convoking a spell and I tap Emara, can I also tap the token she produces? And the answer is pretty much no, because you have to pay all your costs at once.
But not for that same... I mean, you can tap that soldier for a different convoke.
Yes. Yeah, but not for the convoke
not
you're
for
doing,
the same one,
cause,
yeah.
Because you're paying the cost for a spell by tapping her, and the trigger to create the token will then... It goes off to the green room until we're done doing what we're doing, and then we'll put that trigger on the stack, and then the trigger will resolve. So, yeah, you don't... It's not quite that cool. Sorry. Stark, you have a follow-up question here. Why do I hate fun? I don't hate fun, but I also don't make those rules. I can only tell you what the rules are. Sorry.
Yeah. But regardless, Emara looks pretty cool, and she is pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, and then there's this insanely sick playmat that you get if you win the store championship of... a floating city of Ravnica that is the shape of the Planeswalker symbol. That is absolutely insane.
That is sick.
Now, I don't know my Ravnica lore that well. Are there any floating cities or buildings in Ravnica? Because I don't remember any.
Obviously, they're right there.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, but like, is this new? Because it looks like someone broke gravity, and the last time I saw that, Eldrazi showed up. So I'm kind
of
wondering.
It's an entire plane where I'm sure we've only seen this much of it. I'm sure that's a thing somewhere. Stop
probably. I just don't remember. Like, this is more me asking if this is a sign of the plot or if this is something that is always there and I just forgot.
Yeah, I don't remember it always being there. I remember impossibly tall buildings. I do remember that. But I don't remember the floating... I don't remember Zendikar-esque floating bits of, Earth.
I'm sure there will be plenty of people that know this more than me or have read Ravnica guides or have... looked at all the art. I just forgot.
I'm also still wondering why we're talking about it. Okay, moving on.
Because we talk about art sometimes.
Anyway, yeah, so...
This is ArtCast.
And this is really sick, but it's not the art we're talking about. It's the concept of floating things on a fictional plane in Magic. Anyway, then we've got the Friday Night Magic promos, which have the really neat... white text and cool card frames and whatnot, and we have these are whatever really. We have one with Convoke and two with Surveil. Actually, Sinister Sabotage is kind of sick. One blue counter target spell, surveil one. Pretty sure that's going to be brutal. Actually, Thought Eraser's kind of sick, too.
Yeah, and honestly, Conclave Tribunal ain't half bad, man.
That is true. Yeah, okay, all three of these are pretty good. What's the Tribunal do?
Tribunal, 3 and a white, so total of 4 mana for an uncommon enchantment with Convoke. When Conclave Tribunal enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls until Conclave Tribunal leaves the battlefield. So it's a fixed O-ring effect on a Convoke card.
Seems good.
And I can say the artwork is pretty sick if you see a big version of it. This doesn't do it justice.
And then Thought Erasure, for a blue and a black, is a sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards it and surveil one. Granted, discard spells that cost two are nowhere near as powerful as ones that cost one, but still pretty good.
Yeah.
The artwork on that one is also pretty sick if you see it big.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They showed all three of these cards at the panel.
Sinister Sabotage looks like card art that I feel like I've seen before. I know I haven't. It's just it looks like a familiar effect.
Isn't that Ral Zarek trying to do a thing and having a Dimir symbol pop out and jump scare him?
I don't think that's Ral, though.
That's just a random Izzet guy, isn't it?
It's a random Izzet guy, yeah.
It's Izzet Larry, and he is bad at this.
By the way, the chat has pointed out that the original Ravnica City of Guilds basic lands had floaty bits of cities.
So there you go.
Thought so. Okay, then. And then for Ravnica Weekend, local stores will be hosting Ravnica Weekend November 9th through 11th. Players can come in and play 4-pack drafts, casual guild kit battles, more on them shortly, and a special preview adventure from the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, the upcoming Magic D&D crossover book, which looks pretty sick. Just for participating, you could get one of these special guild-affiliated premium foil basic lands.
Amazing.
Yeah, with really sweet guild-oriented text boxes. And also, the expansion symbol for each one is the guild that it's associated with.
I need these mountain and plains with the Boros. Oh, look at those.
Those are pretty sick. These are actually all pretty sick. And I'm sure they will do 5 more of these, or 10 more of these for the second set.
Presumably.
Yeah. Yes, and then we come to the Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition.
Oh, yeah, can I talk about this for a second?
Are you going to explain the basics before you jump into it?
Well, I just need to give a public service announcement, and then we'll talk about the basics.
Okay.
Will they understand it without basics?
Okay.
Clues want you to know you can only get these in the U.S. and Canada.
Oh, no, I wasn't even going to talk about that yet. Later, but sure. Okay, we can talk about that. No. Here's what I want to say. Okay, I know that many of you out there who are listening to this or watching the stream, that you may be familiar with this thing called the internet, that you may even be on the internet. And as such, there's a good chance that when we discuss this, while we're talking about it, you will be sharpening pitchforks. I don't think you should. I'm saying just put the pitchfork down. Just set it over there. Just put it down. I think it's fine. I think it's going to be okay. And this is coming from someone who doesn't really like this sort of thing, but here we are.
He really doesn't.
So they're doing this thing, this new thing. It is something new. They said it's something new. It's totally an experiment that they're trying. You know how you and your friends really like to draft? And you know how WotC really loves it when you draft? Particularly, they love it when you draft new product, because that means that you're buying new product, because that's how draft works. So what if they made a product just for you, for drafting, but made it special? So they sell you essentially a draft box for Guilds of Ravnica, but 8 of the packs that are in this box, because it only comes with 24 packs, so that you can actually draft with your friends. 8 of those packs are different. Now, how are they different? What are they? Well, first, the other packs are just normal Guilds of Ravnica packs, just normal booster packs. These 8 packs, which are clearly marked on the outside that these are the special ones, each one of those contains a full frame borderless artwork planeswalker. Now, not just any planeswalker. They have specific planeswalkers that are in these eight packs. They've given us seven of the eight. They have not showed us the eighth one. I assume the eighth one is one that will appear in Guilds of Ravnica that has not yet been
that is what they said,
previewed. Yeah. So we don't know that one yet. We know seven of them. Now, to clear up one more bit of misconception, those eight packs that are clearly marked as being different somehow, they don't tell you which planeswalker is in each of those packs. So the idea is, when you pass out packs for everybody to draft, everybody gets one of these special ones, and that's the pack they open first, and they get the opportunity to draft that planeswalker and then build their deck in those colors or around those mechanics. Okay? So that's the idea. Now, I know what you're thinking. This sounds awesome. And if you see the artwork, you are absolutely right. This does sound awesome, and they look sick. My God, the artwork is amazing on these things.
They are apparently foiled in a similar process to, at least from what it looks like, from the vault. So expect heavy curling, which is really the only problem I have with them.
There is that chance.
They kind of feel like Comic-Con planeswalkers.
This will be available, asterisk. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that footnote. This will be available, asterisk, on October 3rd for $249.99. That's right, $250 for 24 boosters, but eight of them are guaranteed to have these full-frame planeswalkers with the sweet, sweet art. Mm-hmm. Now, about that asterisk, you might think to yourself, oh, this is awesome. I will rush down to my local game store, and I will pre-order one of these, and it will be awesome. That would be awesome, but you cannot. It is available only for purchase through Hasbro Toy Shop, which means it's sold out. Like, right now, is what I'm saying. That's my big criticism. You know, the price point, I think, is fine. These new artworks, I think, is fine. If you're going to do this sort of thing where you've got a special product that it's the only place to get this card, I think it's fine if it's a card that exists other places and we just have nifty artwork for it. That is totally cool. I'm totally fine with that. I'm not super stoked that you can only get it through the Hasbro Toy Shop. And because you can only get it through the Hasbro Toy Shop, and I don't know if this is normally the case, I don't think it is, but at least for this product, this will only ship to either the US or Canada. So if you are elsewhere in the world, you need not apply. Sorry, I guess. I mean, it's not our fault, but I feel like that's really, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth is what I'm going to say. I don't care for that part at all. But overall, the concept of the product, I think, is fine. And the cards are gorgeous. So here are the cards that are, you guys want to at least run through just at least what, I mean, we don't have to talk in detail about these, but the cards that are the Planeswalker ones.
In the time it took you to ask that, you could have just read them off.
I could have. So we've got Elspeth Knight Errant with amazing artwork. Look, I'm going to stop saying that. They all have amazing artwork.
You can just read the Planeswalker names. They're all reprints.
Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas. Liliana, The Last Hope. Doretti, Igneous Iconoclast.
Ingenious.
Ingenious. I'm sorry. I do that every time. I flip the G's. Rahl, Is It Viceroy, which isn't that a new one? Or am I wrong?
That's the new one.
That's the new one from this set.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nicol Bolas Planeswalker. And eighth Planeswalker to be named.
Which I think someone officially said that the two Planeswalkers are Rahl and Vraska.
Yeah,
I believe it's going to be Vraska.
Yeah.
Whatever she does. They haven't revealed her yet.
Or Jace the Mind Sculptor. No, it won't be Jace the Mind Sculptor. It's going to be Vraska.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the most notable thing about the artworks is that Elspeth is dead. She's in Theros' underworld here with her returned mask and a spear hole in her armor where she was, you know, speared.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Pretty badass.
Yeah.
It is. But what's really interesting is she's not wearing the mask. She's holding the mask.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything about that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So there you go.
So it's an interesting thing. I think that maybe some polish on the execution could be had. I'm sure that this is an experiment. No one knows how many they're making. Well, no one said how many they're making. Let's put it that way. We, the general public, do not know how many they're making. So it could be 100 of them. It could be 1 million of them. They may never sell out. I don't know. I don't know.
If you want one, you should try to buy one on that day as well.
Absolutely. And that's October the 3rd.
There you go.
Limit two per customer.
Really close.
It is.
And they're not going to tell you what time of day.
Well, no, of course not. Although it does say watch the Wizards Magic Twitter account for more information as we get closer to October 3rd.
Maybe they've learned from the past and will try to tell us, but
yeah,
be prepared to do battle with the Hasbro toy shop. It sucks.
Now, look, I don't think I've mentioned yet, but this artwork is amazing.
Yes, thank you, Clues.
Okay.
They can also see it if they're in the chat or watching it online, or they can go to the link in the show notes to see it themselves.
So, to sum up, $250, 24 packs, 8 of which are the Planeswalker packs, and each one has one of these. You get all 8 of these. This isn't booster pack lotto. You're getting these if you spend $250, all of them.
Right, yes.
And plus the Vraska. And that's it. Yeah, it's Guilds of Ravnica and on the Hasbro Toy Shop, which is a problem.
Yeah.
But
I've heard that there were some issues with the most recent round of Hasbro Toy Shop orders, that there were folks who were reporting that everything seemed to go through okay, only for them to get an email like half an hour later that said, oh yeah, that didn't go through, sorry. I don't know if that's true, just rumors I've seen on the internets.
I haven't seen that particular message, but I know there are people in this very chat who didn't get one because of Hasbro Toy Shop nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Then we have the packaging for the boosters, the normal boosters, which are very orange.
Yeah.
Very much so,
very,
yes.
Very golden. Very... That's loud. What?
Very
sorry.
2012.
I couldn't hear you over... this booster packaging.
Yep.
We've got the bundle, formerly known as the Fat Pack, with the sick angel art on it. We've got a very loud booster box, and very loud. It's all just loud. Not that I'm complaining, I'm just saying. It's all a very
you
bright...
You won't confuse which box it is on the shelf.
Not at all. It's all very bright, orangey, goldy colored. Yeah. Alright, so the other... bit of like new stuff is the guild kits, which has only been talked about on the damn weekly MTG stream, so we have nothing to show you. There, I have on screen now a tweet from Blake Rasmussen. There, $20 for a 60 card deck, a guild pin, a guild sticker, a spin down, and tokens. And they have cards in each guild kit from all the Ravnica sets, they can come from all Ravnica sets, and apparently they're pre-built decks, right? I didn't bother to watch the stream, and I refuse to go back and look up the VOD, because they can't be arsed to give us a text write-up anywhere on the damn website.
Yeah, I got nothing, I'm sorry.
So, we got nothing. Like I said, if they're not going to give us a write-up somewhere, I'm not going to go watch their thing to give them more views. That's just not what I do. But they look sweet. Apparently, Deathrite Shaman is one of the reprints, if the internet is to be believed. But I think they showed that.
Maybe it'll find a format it's legal in.
I mean, it's legal in Commander?
Vintage.
Vintage? Yeah. Oh, and some of the reprints have new art. And Pinball Witch said the guild kits also have those sweet basics with the expansion symbol of the guild. Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
That's nice.
All right, then. So that's most of the...
Okay, we buried the lead, though. Like, the most important story is right here. It's left. There's just underneath here. You can't see where I'm pointing on my screen.
Just say it, Liz.
So we have super exciting news. Like crazy super exciting news. We're getting a Magic novel. They're back. They're back, baby. I don't know yet if this is good or this is bad, but I'm excited. I've enjoyed many of some subset of the Magic novels I've read I've enjoyed. Yeah,
yes.
Let's say it that way. And there's a chance that I will enjoy this one as well.
My favorite was the Shards of Alara collection of short stories. I think that was my favorite in recent times. Was there a Shards of Alara collection of short stories? I think that was Shards. I'm pretty sure.
Let's go with yes.
I have never read magic novels.
Oh, man, you are... I was going to say missing out, but that was...
I was safely warded away from most of them, but I know they're not all bad.
That was like an instinctive reaction. That was like reflex.
You missed some horrible stinkers and a few decent reads.
Mike and Chewie give me some reasonable baselines for a lot of them. I know a lot of the more recent ones were not good, and a lot of the older ones were not good. But I know that a lot of the fiction that I've seen on the website's been very good.
Yeah, that it has.
And I know that they put out some ebooks that I didn't read that were apparently pretty good. So I appreciate any world building that they wish to do.
So the new novel is called Ravnica. It of course, is tied to the storyline in Guilds of Ravnica. It's by Greg Weisman. I don't really know Greg Weisman's work, but I think there's a...
Well, hey, look, we have a link to his Wikipedia page. And Wikipedia isn't formatted properly for the stream.
Apparently he's worked on Gargoyles and Star Wars Rebels, so...
Yeah, he was a writer in such things. It really bothers me that Wikipedia is not formatted properly to show up here. What if I zoom out? Does that work? That doesn't work.
Again, you're burying the lead here. He wrote an episode of Gem in 1988.
Yeah, so sorry, stream, but I'm not going to redo my setup here just so you can see this. But yeah, he's written... For Gargoyles, let's see here, Kim Possible, Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go, The Batman, Ben 10, Legion of Superheroes, Spectacular Young Spider-Man, Justice. Young Justice, Kaijudo, Beware the Batman, that's different, Star Wars Rebels, he was a writer and executive producer as well, Transformers Rescue Bots, The Flash... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one that's
the most recent one.
The one that ended in 2017 on Nickelodeon. So yeah, he's had writing credits for many years on many cartoons that we all love and some that we don't.
So the only thing we know about the story of this book so far is this. So this is the official line of what the story summary is. Planeswalkers from many disparate realities will team up with the Gatewatch against Nicol Bolas and his unstoppable army who has claimed dominion over Ravnica. The book will feature well-known characters like Chandra, Gideon, and Jace alongside all new characters. So, it's always Nicol Bolas.
For a long time, it wasn't.
And we thought it wasn't, but I'm pretty sure it was.
What?
Like, all the stuff we thought wasn't Nicol Bolas really was, is what I'm saying.
Well, at any rate, stop.
Okay.
The idea that Nicol Bolas is like, I'm going to go to Ravnica is like, got a bit ambitious after that whole beating up the Gatewatch and all of that, huh? Because,
by the way,
it's not really the plane I'd want to mess with.
Be careful, everyone, when you go to this pastemagazine.com article about this, because I just had a pop-up show up that got blocked by my, I just reinstalled Malwarebytes, so I have like 2 weeks of the premium service. And all of a sudden, this page just decided to try to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And Malwarebytes blocked it. So be warned, pastemagazine.com is apparently not the safest site, but it's where the story is. So
yeah, we've already told you everything you need to know from that site. Don't go there.
Although you should click on it for a minute and check out the sweet... artwork here, which shows...
the cover art is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it shows Gideon, Chandra, I think that's Ral Zarek, and this Planeswalker from Conspiracy 2, whose name I don't know because she was only in Conspiracy... Kaya, there we go. Thank you, Magnus. Oh, the guy on the left is new, is that not Ral Zarek? Oh,
wait, no,
it looks like he knows how to dress himself.
Oh, that's true. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and he kind of looks like he came from Netrunner.
A little bit, yeah.
Which I guess is fitting because Netrunner's done.
Which...
He wields geometry.
So it's Hanzo? Oh, no, that's simple geometry.
Yeah, no, this is some advanced geometry.
Yeah, let's go with that. Is it Moira? Those are angles, man. That's trigonometry. Yeah, that's Moira. Okay, got it.
Sure.
Overwatch jokes. But anyway, yeah, the cover art is really sweet. I like it.
It'll probably show up in a neat poster or something someday.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm pretty excited because I look forward to the magic novel. I may be disappointed, but I've been disappointed before. It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me know if it gets an audiobook.
It's really bugging me that I can't remember her name. Kaya Ghost Assassin. Oh, it was just Kaya. Okay.
Take that, ghost.
Yeah, she was from Conspiracy Take the Crown, as you can see here. Ow, ow.
Interesting
ow.
Team up.
Yeah, looks pretty sweet. The only other thing going on that we should mention. Oh, by the way, that thing that I was yelling stop earlier. The Guilds of Ravnica trailer is up. It is 57 seconds long.
And it's good.
And I haven't watched it yet, so, you know, go watch that.
It's good.
Okay.
Okay, then.
And the only other thing that matters... Clues, you're killing me putting links in the Discord when I'm... I have to have you full screen.
sorry.
Is starting yesterday, Mark Rosewater started up a Famous Goblins head-to-head bracket. Yesterday's was Squee versus the Shattergang Brothers. And Squee took it in... What was it like?
Yeah. As the top left entry, I have to assume I am first seed. So, awesome.
Yeah, I don't think we have to tell you listeners what to do. I think you understand.
Yeah.
I appreciate the variety of legendary goblins around. And I'm actually entertained that Kikijiki is not second seed. Interesting. So we'll see where this goes.
Shattergang Brothers, Krark. I don't think Krark had a card, did he? He was just...
No. Krark did have a card.
Krark did have a card?
Yeah, I had to go and look it up.
Oh, okay. Was that later? Because for the longest time, he just had like a thumb and stuff. Time.
Yeah.
I think they printed a Krark card later.
Okay. Grenzo, Doretti, Tuck Tuck, Slowbad. He'll be one of mine. He's from Original Mirrodin. Auntie Wart, Krenko, Old Buzzbark. Done with that one. Pashalik Mons. Oh, that's the Mons Goblin Raiders. That guy. Ib Halfheart, Kikijiki, Zada, okay, Vile Smasher, and Mizzix. Who the hell is Mizzix?
Was it Mizzix from the last Ravnica?
I don't remember.
I feel kind of bad that I don't remember.
Mizzix Commander. Of the Ismagnus.
Commander.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Oh, man, it appears I'm wrong. Kark didn't have a card.
I thought he did.
I could have sworn he did.
He had a thumb... And he has a clan that has lots of other
stuff. Like a stoker and a shaman and an ogre and some ironworks. There's his other thumb.
Classic Krark.
Might be from an unset.
Thumb having.
But yeah, I could have sworn he had a card. Maybe I just saw a fan-produced card on the internet. That's probably what happened. Maybe.
That would not surprise me. That pops up all the time and makes me go, wait, what?
Yeah, here, I can say about this particular head-to-head bracket, no matter what happens, we're all winners in this one.
Yeah, but I want them in the most.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, yes, but...
Like, you can't have me losing to, like, Tuck Tuck.
Someone suggested that if Squee does lose any round, that he immediately comes back in the next round.
Yeah, but I'll feel bad for, like, a whole round. Like, don't do that.
I approve of that, so...
Anyway. So that, dear listeners, I do believe... is everything, unless Squee has anything neat for Monday Night Magic Online.
Not particularly. Like, they did their usual, we're going to make an announcement thing tomorrow. So I'm like, cool. Talk about that next week. They're doing, I think, their quarterly developer update. So I'll talk about that next week when they post it. Right now, there's not much exciting. They're going to do Legacy Cube again. Go have fun.
Yay. All right, then. So, I guess we should end this episode.
Yeah, we can do that.
It would appear so.
All right. So, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinToBob. There's no I in Goblin because, as mentioned, the Eldrazi took it a long time ago. Very sad. Past that, though, the rest of me and my other eye went to Dragon Con this past weekend. I had a lot of fun. Dragon Con is always this crazy adventure. I appreciate the number of Planeswalker cosplayers I see at non-magic events. Like, that's always pretty neat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of Jaces of both genders, so it's not just that one guy who's always Jace, but a lot of Jaces, so that's cool.
Sweet.
I'll still remember the year that I ran into a Chandra at the aquarium, which felt like the last place I should run into Chandra, but you know what? She glows really nicely in the dark, so I can't argue with it. But yeah, Dragon Con was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I always recommend checking out conventions if you've never been. Maybe don't start with something like Dragon Con because it's a bit big and expensive, but it was fun. And it was just, you know, neat all around. I will also note that in terms of upcoming nerdy stuff, I'm probably not going to be going to any events for a while because I'm going to be saving the fun money for a trip abroad next year or so. Not really going to be updating you on too much of that, but if you're looking for something fun to do this coming weekend, we're getting season 2 of Marvel's Iron Fist. And if it's anything like the bit of Iron Fist I saw in Luke Cage, I'm looking forward to this. Should be a lot of fun. So that'll be coming out on Friday. And with that, I'll hand it over to Clues.
All right. Hey, well, let's start off with, if you want to get more of me, you can find me on the other podcast I do. That's Random Discard at randomdiscard.com. You can find me on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. You can find me on Mastodon. I'm at LockLuze at mastodon.social. Come say things on Mastodon. It's not quite crickets, but there are a lot of pictures of animals, and that's pretty awesome because I like dogs and cats and bunnies. There need to be more pictures of bunnies, I guess is what I'm saying. I was just at PAX this past weekend, PAX Prime, PAX West, whatever you want to call it, out on the West Coast. And so I'm still recovering from the barely sleeping while there because jet lag. And now that I'm back because jet lag, I just want to sleep for all the years is what I would like to do, like all of them. But I can't because I got an early morning class because that sucks. But there it is. A couple of things I want to say about that. I did enjoy the magic panel. That was a good time. I want to say apologies to Pharmacist Judge. I bumped into you a couple of times. But my God, was I low energy when I ran into you because I was so tired by the end of the day. I feel really bad. I was terribly non-interactive. I apologize for that. I also want to apologize to Chewy because while in a conversation with Pharmacist Judge, I besmirched your good name.
I had a good name?
I said that you don't edit because you're lazy, and that's not true.
Is it not?
I love the delay there. I love that.
Mostly. No, you don't edit.
It's
the
not
show
true. It's just factual.
it's just not worth it, is what I'll say. You got better things to do with your time than edit this show.
He edits so much other stuff that I know he's fully capable of it.
There's just no reason to do it on this one. Unless we say something we shouldn't, but we don't, because there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic, is what I'll say about
true,
that.
Yeah.
Also big shout out to Jason. Not Chewy, but Jason, the other Jason who I met at PAX, ran into him after a panel. He had some very nice things to say about the show. It was cool meeting you. I hope you enjoyed the rest of your PAX, and I hope your travels home were safe, is what I'll say about that. Let's see now, anything else that I wanted to say?
Wild Clues thinks, for the record, the reason that I have structured both of my podcasts in such a way that they don't need editing is because I despise editing audio with a fiery passion.
That's okay. Remarkably time consuming by comparison to video.
Yeah, it's miserable,
all right, so
dude.
He doesn't edit because he hates editing.
Yeah.
That's
I'll edit video all day and do, actually. Really? Edit video all day, but
video is way easier to edit than audio.
I hate editing audio.
Really? Because I deeply love editing audio.
You want to edit the show?
Oh God, no, I don't have time
for that. Different priorities.
I barely have time to sleep, man.
For the curious, when you're editing video, you can skim over it at high speeds and see where to edit it. You can jump around. With audio, you have to stop and listen over and over again to make sure you did it right. Yeah, it's so much more time consuming.
I've got 2 episodes of my own show recorded that I haven't edited yet because I don't have time.
See why you shouldn't edit? Those shows have been up already.
But I like to edit, man. It's fun. And when you pull off an edit that's really good and seamless and no one ever notices, that's a great feeling.
Jason said his travel time,
yeah,
15-minute drive home. So
yeah, I
think he made it
up. I was going to respond when
glad you survived.
When I was all done. A thing about the art to pay attention to. The art in Ravnica. Thing to pay attention to. It's autumn on Ravnica, so watch for lots of warm clothing and leaves that are falling. So they talked about that in world building, and I thought it was interesting.
Autumn. Were you going to tell the story about the world building panel?
Should I tell that? I'll tell that. Oh my God, Silverfist, you did? Sorry, there was a message in the chat about living in Danville, and that is a horrible place. I am so sorry. I hope you're out now, is what I'll say. So I was at the world building panel, and at the end of all the magic panels that they have at PAX, they have like a Q&A session where they've got a mic and people can come up to the mic and ask some questions for the design or the development team. And so this was, you know, like any other, they talked about the world and the artwork and the feelings that they were going for and the returning mechanics and how they fit into everything.
Clues, hang on.
Yeah.
We are dropping mad frames all of a sudden, and I don't know why. Hang on, let me...
All right.
Let me close things. Oh, God, what is going on?
Okay. Because I moved forward.
Oh, my God, the frame drop is going up at a rapid pace.
Is it exponential?
No, that's not how it works.
Reverse polarity.
Okay, we're green again. Sorry, right. I don't know if people could even hear you during all that. I have no idea. So please continue, sir.
All right, magic panel, question and answer session happens. People get up, they start asking questions, the normal kinds of questions, like, when are we going back to Kamigawa? Because that happens, okay? Always happens. Big round of applause.
A valid question, too, damn it.
Everybody in the audience wanted to go back to Kamigawa. I'll say that. And the audience was very friendly. It was a very nice, happy, jovial atmosphere. And then... this one guy gets up, and remember, this is like the design and development team. This is like world building, storyline.
Yeah, this is creative
sort of thing. This is definitely the creative folks. So the guy gets up and asks, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here. I did not have exact words. I apologize. It stunned me so much. It was like being hit in the head with a fish. So this guy stands up.
That would stun me.
And he asks, basically, what the panel's thoughts are about Wizards of the Coast continuing to allow Alex Bertoncini to play organized magic.
Because that's something they wanted to do, or were capable of commenting on.
And there was this moment when the whole room went silent. And it was just, you're like, did that really just happen? Did he just really... And then the folks on stage, one of the panelists, I forget who it was, is like, well, that's really a thing we leave up to the DCI, because they make the decisions on organized play stuff. And then, like, the person running the mic, who is also staff, is like, yeah, there's a time and a place for those sorts of questions, and this is really a panel about world building. So let's talk about that.
Understandable.
I mean, you could just feel the temperature of the room just plummet. It was really weird, because that's not really... those people don't know. They have no input on this. This is not... It was really weird, is what it was. I mean, I don't know what this guy expected. I don't know if he expected applause from the room, but that ain't what he got, is what I'll say.
This story made Twitter, because I heard about this. I was like...
Yeah, it was a thing. Anyway,
like a thing.
I think that's it for me. Over to you, Chewy.
You heard that, right?
That robot was hilarious.
That was amazing.
Excellent.
Oh, excellent. Man. You need new batteries.
Oh, yes. Crap.
Oh, no.
All right, sorry, Chad. I have to close you.
Take that, Chad.
Okay.
So now that you can't see the chat, they're not here, so we can say what we want, right?
That is how that works, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Isn't Man, it? The chat's great. Don't ever let them know I said that.
I had to reopen my browser. I shut my browser off when I started dropping frames. Encoding overloaded. Consider turning down stream settings. Usually that only happens...
Ooh, turn down... For what?
When I... Jeez. You're awful proud of that, too, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am unreasonably proud of that.
Usually, very this only happens when I am playing Overwatch.
Yeah.
Okay, I closed a couple of tabs and the encoder overload went away. Okay, that's weird. Anyway, so, if you want to help support what I do, I'm just going to do this first and then close the browser again. Then... check out patreon.com/themanapool, because I record, stream, and upload two podcasts a week, Monday Night Magic and The Manapool. I live stream a bunch of stuff, and I have constant YouTube videos going up. Here lately, I've had one going up every day with two on some days. and I'll have two a day going up for a good little while, actually, because I've been working my ass off for the last week or so, just getting all of the stream content that I have edited up, cut up, and put up on YouTube. So if you want to help support what I do with all that, the most direct way is here, not here, is over on patreon.com/themanipool, where you can become a lifeguard. The uncommon lifeguards get access to Monday Night Magic, not Monday Night Magic, we can't do that early, get access to the Manipool and YouTube videos early, sometimes very early for the YouTube videos. The rare lifeguards get the early stuff and access to the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool that is uncensored and unfiltered. And Scuzzo just subbed for 11 months in a row and said lifeguards hype. Yes. And then Pinball Witch threw 10 bits to say to the Buy Chewy a New Ass Fund to replace my old one because I've been working it off.
Because you broke it.
Anyway, where was I? Rare lifeguards. Right, get the odds and ends. And then the mythic lifeguards get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and access. Not access. And get the name on the end slate and the shout out on both podcasts. Look, Clues isn't the only one that's tired. All right, shut up.
Is there a special buy a box exclusive version of lifeguards?
Not yet, but that is in the works.
Okay.
Nice.
We have to make sure that we somehow get that exclusivity, that extra level.
Yes, if you just send me $50 cash and go around Patreon, just send me cash straight to me, then we'll work something out.
But you can only get that tier through a website where it's now sold out.
Oh, no, it's not sold out. Send me $50 cash. Money. Yeah.
There's a difference between selling out and selling out.
Oh, that's Chewy right. Chewy has sold out. I'm sorry. Yes.
So.
He will happily do so.
Another perk you get by being a patron or a lifeguard is in the Manipool Discord server, you get the a matching color. So the uncommon ones are silver, the rare ones are gold, and the mythic ones are that mythic orange color. So everyone knows how generous
you are.
Classy
Dorito color.
Yeah. But anyway, so I would like to thank the following Mythic Lifeguards. Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Lands Delicious, Team U, Hellas Haryu. I gotta learn how to say his name again, because I think I've lost it over the last several months. Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Brittain, Casey, Fayin Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, different Jason, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, that's the one that we've been talking about this whole time. Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, we've been mentioning him too. John Parker, Jimmy Scott, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburned, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Thank you all so very much for your support. I quite literally could not do it without you. Hang on, did I miss somebody? Oh no, I changed how I say your name. Okay. My brain was like, you screwed something up. I'm like, what did I screw up?
You ruined everything.
All right then. So let me close my browser. Well, no, now it's fine. Was it YouTube? Was my YouTube dashboard screwing up? Maybe not. Anyway, something was screwing up. All of this. I don't know what it was. But hey, speaking of which, over on youtube.com/themanipool, I've got just a mess of stuff going up. I'm finishing up the Stanley Parable. The next to last of those videos went up today? Yesterday? It's all blurring together. And I've got some DuckTales Remastered videos going up.
Ooh.
Yes. Some Hearthstone ranked games that were just good stuff. Some Hearthstone Puzzle Lab. I did the Puzzle Lab over several streams. I've got one boss left, which, by the way, for those of you still here, we're going to be doing that tomorrow night, and that'll be the entire stream. If I finish it in 40 minutes, like I did one of the other secret labs, then it'll be a 40-minute stream. If it takes me 4 hours, it'll be a 4-hour stream. But that's all I'm doing, because usually I take the day after Monday Night Magic off. But I'm stupid, so I'm gonna stream the final, the survival secret lab. That's tomorrow night. I don't know how I feel about that. But what else? Hearthstone, Puzzle Lab, DuckTales, Stanley.
Woo.
Yes, Stanley, woo, that is how that goes. I'm missing something. Oh, I've got one more XCOM video I need to edit. Oh, right.
Tank.
Bill is our tank, yeah. Well, our heavy, rather.
Heavy. Anyway. Doesn't work as well.
So that's what's going on at youtube.com/TheManiPool, over at twitch.tv/TheManiPool. Hey, you could have been watching this live. How awesome would that have been? That would have been pretty awesome.
Totally worth it.
You only know if you do it once.
We're also streaming The Manipool here Thursday nights around 8 or so Eastern Time. And assorted other things. Like I said, I'll be doing the Puzzle Lab tomorrow. Thursday will be The Manipool. Friday, I've got to do something that isn't Hearthstone or DuckTales. So,
woo.
I might do more XCOM. Sometime over this weekend, I'm going to do more XCOM Enemy Within. There will be more. What's that other game that I love so much? Slay the Spire. Lots of stuff coming up here on Twitch. So by all means, come hang out for any or all of that. What else? I guess that's pretty much it. And of course, you can find me all over the internet at The Manipool. The link to the Discord server is down in the show notes. We have not cracked 100 people yet, but we're getting close. We're at 90-some. So by all means, come join the Discord server. Push us up into 3 digits. It'll be awesome. We've got channels for Magic, channels for the streaming, channels for the YouTube stuff, channels for the 2 podcasts, channels for Hearthstone and Overwatch and Magic. There's a D&D channel. Yeah, come hang out. Talk dragons. About stuff. Do what?
Channel for dragons.
Channel for kobolds.
I find them in dungeons.
That's a lie. There's not a channel for kobolds. And
they
never
have to hide in the dungeons like the rest of them.
Anyway, so that has been that. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 622, right? Yeah, 622?
Yeah.
Oh, it's right
number
here on
a
the...
lot.
It's literally on the screen right now. Oh my god.
That's what I'm looking at.
So, we appreciate you guys that were here live to, tell us stuff and poke fun at us and whatnot. And yeah, we will be done now. So thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.